Well, good morning, church. I have a new microphone, and we're still figuring out where the proper level is to have me, because I can be a little overwhelming. That big booming voice. Oh, so thanks for bearing with us as we work out the kinks of the technology. I am so grateful to be here. My name is Pastor Jim. I get to serve Jesus here at Scalp Level Trinity, and I get to help all of us learn about Jesus, and that's a great job to have, and I'm so thankful that I get to do this. I'm going to invite you to stand with me in body and spirit and mind and heart, however it is that you can show reverence for God's Word as we look at Luke. Should be familiar, you just heard it a little while ago. And hear these words from Jesus. He is speaking with a group of people called Pharisees. Teachers of the law, people who were trying to be obedient to God's law, but they have some problems in their life. And so Jesus tells his disciples this: there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you can no longer be my manager." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do? What shall I do? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called in each of his master's debtors, and he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 900 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager said, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he said. The manager told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Jesus is the Word of God. Please be seated, friends. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear with joy the words you have to bring to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we have a parable of Jesus that is a little hard to understand for a lot of people, because is Jesus saying that the man who was dishonest was to be commended and praised and lifted up as an example to us? But in the same breath, he's saying, you know, be honest in your dealings with others. But this dishonest man who was not honest with the people around him, well, he's in trouble. So we get confused. And part of the reason why we get confused is because we are hearing a story of Jesus that was told to an audience that wasn't us. That audience lived 2,000 years ago, and the ways of speaking, the environment in which they lived was different in those days than it's for us today. We hear this parable, and we think of a boss, and we think of a dishonest manager. Maybe we think of someone like Mr. Burns and Homer Simpson, that the mean manager is scolding the employee who's kind of a dunce, you know, doing all these dishonest things. But that's not the relationship that Jesus is talking about here. We are in a different environment. We are trying to take 21st century ideas and plug them into a story that's 2,000 years old. Sometimes we can't even do that with things that happened just a few years ago. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and if I were to say to you, I'm going to go chill with all of my peeps, never say that again. They are totally bad. We're going to have a totally bad time together as I'm hanging out with all of my, I'm going to chill with my peeps. How many of you have no idea what I just said? I have no idea what I just said. But say, I'm going to go hang out with my friends after church and we're going to have a bad time. Well, bad means good. Bad means good in that situation. I'm just talking like the 80s, totally. Like I'm totally talking like the 80s, man. Radical. Totally gnarly. Yeah, all of these things, and people are going, what in the world are you talking about? It's the same here. We read these stories of Jesus, and sometimes we go, that's like totally confusing, man. Like, I don't know what they're talking about. I'm going to stop talking like I'm in the 80s now. I had to work many, many years to stop saying like between every sentence, because that's how I grew up. But here we have a story of a culture where the rich folks tended to live in a small area of town of the whole kingdom called Jerusalem. And the people out in the fields who did all the work, they lived up in the north. They lived in the northern areas. They lived around in the rural parts of the kingdom. The problem was, the little tiny area in Jerusalem, those folks, the rich folks, they owned the fields all around that area. So if you were working on your farm, it was owned by someone else. And they would work, they would toil, and what they would make, most of it, they would then have to give to the rich owner, who had probably never even seen the farm that was producing all of these goods. He lived in a nice place in the city. You worked in the fields, and when you were done, you took your portion, you gave it to the rich man. You lived on what you could, while the rich man in the city had extravagance, could spend all that money. So in order to maintain control over those farms, the rich man would hire a manager, someone who could be the go-between so that he didn't have to go out into the fields himself. Someone else would do that. And he would go out into the fields and see how things were going, give a report back to the rich owner, and so it went. The manager in this story is a middleman. He's middle management. He is working for someone else, but he's also in charge of these people out in the fields. So what happens? He's not doing the job the way that the rich man would like him to do it. So he fires him. But here's the problem. The rich man fires him, and he doesn't take the checkbook away. This rich man, he's kind of not thinking. So, all right, I've been fired, but I still have all of the records. I still have the checkbook. I still have everything. And so in order to help myself, I'm going to go to the people who, hey, I can't live with those rich people in Jerusalem. I'm going to have to live with these folks out in the fields. And I want to make friends with them. I don't want them to treat me cruelly because I've had to be in charge of them. So I'm going to cut my new friends, a break on all of their bills. You deal in olive oil. Well, that the master's going to take most of that, but I'm going to cut you a break. And you dealer, I'm going to cut you a break too. I'm going to make bargains with all the folks who owe the rich owner all that money. And the rich owner goes, okay, that's great. You're pretty smart. You figured this all out. Good for you, that dishonest owner out in Jerusalem says. You made a great deal. You've set yourself up for a nice life. Good job. Jesus tells this story, and the people in those days who were listening, those Pharisees, if they would hear that, they would go, he's talking about us, isn't he? He's talking about us, isn't he? He's saying that we love money too much, that we love possessions too much, that we love the things of this world too much. Where the people in who were not the Pharisees, who were his disciples, would go, you know, I'm still confused, Jesus. Do you want us to act like that manager? Well, let's break it down. What is money for? What's money for? It's to go and buy things, right? You go to a store, you hand them money, and they give you things that you can take with you to enjoy your life with. But when money becomes your master, when money becomes the thing that controls you, money becomes the thing that you need more of, so that you accumulate more and more, that it becomes the scorecard for your life. Long as I'm doing better than Joe down the street, I'm living all right. I might be miserable. I might hate my life, hate everything, but at least I'm getting along better than that other guy. Money becomes the score that we keep. When money controls your life, money becomes the master. Money becomes the thing that needs to be served rather than money serving the person who has it. Jesus has a lot to say about money. And one of the most important things he says is right here in this passage, when money becomes your master, you cannot serve God. Because you can't have two masters. If you have two masters, you're going to love one and hate the other one. So Jesus is being as bold as to say, if you love money, you hate God. And the opposite. If you love God, you'll hate money. Boy, that's a tough message to preach in an American church where we live in a culture that says, get all you can, keep all you can, and spend what you can to make your life better. Jesus is saying, give that up. Don't worry about using money to keep the score of how you're doing in life. The score you keep in life is how well you're serving God, how well you're serving your master in heaven, your king in heaven. And money becomes a tool that you use in order to do that, so that you will look for ways to make money your servant instead of you becoming money's servant. It's a difficult lesson for us to learn. It almost is as strange as saying that something's totally bad that means it's good. Because it's not the way that we're trained in our culture to think. We're trained in our culture to think that the better off you are here, the better the person you are. The better off you're doing in life here, the more money you're making, well, the better you are. The more important you are. The higher your status is in life. Totally opposite to the way that Jesus would have us live. That money doesn't become the thing that controls us. That money becomes the thing that we use to make our friends around us have a better life. That money becomes the thing around us that we give away. We cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. If you think you can tie it all together, Jesus says you can't. You're going to fall apart. You're not going to be able to make it. You're going to be butting heads trying to figure it all out. We must choose. We must choose. And we have to examine our lives. We have to examine our lives. Think about, what do I use money for? What do I use money for? Is it to serve others? Or is it to serve myself? Do I use money to keep score on how well I'm doing? Or do I use money to help others improve their score? You cannot serve God and money. It is impossible. You will grow to love one and hate the other. I'm picturing the cartoon character, Scrooge McDuck. You know who Scrooge McDuck is? I'm using weird terms today. I'm sorry. Scrooge McDuck is a character that has the little top hat and the dollar sign on top of this tremendous, huge building called his money bin. And what he likes to do is he has a little diving board, and he jumps off of the diving board into these pool of coins, the gold coins and all the money, and he swims around in all of his money. He has a great time. But here's the thing. If one gold coin is missing from Scrooge McDuck's money bin, he knows. All those billions and billions of coins, but if one is missing, it consumes him until he finds it. Kind of the opposite of the parable we heard last week of the woman who has the little bit, and when she goes out and she finds her lost coin, she's excited and happy and throws a celebration. When money becomes your master, when even a small portion of your money gets taken from you, your life becomes consumed with getting it back, or getting back at the one who took it from you, because money has become your master, and you cannot serve God and money. It's impossible. Now, is Jesus saying in this story, you know, take someone else's money and give it away like Robin Hood? Rob from the rich and give to the poor? No. But Jesus is saying, understand what money is. Understand what possessions are. Because ultimately, no matter how much we gain, no matter how much we have, no matter how bright we are and we were able to accumulate all sorts of things, in the end, what do you do with them when your life needs to be accounted for in the presence of God, who is truly the master? Can you take all of that money? Can you take all of that status? Can you take all of that power with you to the grave? No, what will happen is all of that stuff will be divided up among the people, and you will have to give an accounting to the true master when you see him face to face. And he will be able to say, you served that instead of serving me. And in the end, all of it is God's anyway. No matter how much we make, all of this, all of the things that we can accumulate here, this whole planet belongs to someone else. We're only renters. We're only tenants in the fields. We don't own anything. It all belongs to God. We get temporary use of it, and then it goes away. You cannot serve God and money. You'll love one and you'll hate the other. I'm praying that we have our mindset on what true riches are instead of the things of this earth. God loves you, and so do I. Amen. We're going to need hymnals for the last song.